It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. Trey Malcote is back with me, and it has been a long, long time since we've done a show together, not just because of COVID-19, but, life in general, I would say.
Yes.
And so I will tell you that he has a number of shows that are on the Synergy Connection Radio website. They're all entertaining and such fun, and he's a great friend. But I want to just explain that Trey does help those who wish to get out of their restrictive thinking and into a life of peace and joy. And in order to make that happen, you really do need to understand why we cling to the past so much. So today, we're going to be looking at breaking the pattern of fear in the times of COVID-19, or as we're calling it kind of underneath that title, living outside fear when you're scared shitless. And I guess that's very true in today's world. We don't even know how long we're going to be told to be safe at home. We don't know whether this virus is going to go away or whether it's going to rear its head back up in the fall. And we don't know whether another virus is on its heels, because if they do create, which I'm sure they will, some sort of a antivirus, medication that we can all take. I'm not sure, and I'm thinking that you're not real sure, Trey, either, whether it won't have morphed into something else, and it won't even be that effective. So
yeah,
here we go with looking at a lot of reasons to be afraid.
Whoa, yes. Well, thank you, Lucy, for having me on, and it's really nice to be back with you. I think that we are in the first time in the history of humans, at least in our lifetime, we're in a process now where we simply do not know. And I know that as biological species, as human beings, when we do not know, certain things happen to us. And that certain thing is the fight or flight response and fear on a paramount level. So I think we're walking into something right now with COVID. The uncertainty concerns me. The fact that if you know anything about the way viruses operate, this thing is going to mutate and change, and we just do not know. And I feel like the uncertainty is the biggest issue compounding fear today. So,
yeah. Well, one of the things that I know that you know, but a lot of our listeners may or may not know, is you have some glands that sit right on top of your adrenals. And well, the adrenals themselves, but they are secreting constantly cortisol, uh-huh, which is the hormone that creates the fight or flight. Okay. Right. But you can go into adrenal fatigue, which is something that nobody wants to do, because then your systems basically begin to shut down.
Right.
And even if you have a reasonably good immunity to a lot of viruses and bacteria that are out there, mm-hmm, if you are constantly secreting cortisol, eventually you will become so tired you can't even move.
That's exactly right.
And yeah, so I have a big concern there, because we have had how many months now? Over 2 months.
Easily.
Of being, stay safe, mm-hmm, kind of concepts. And everybody is, running around with their mask and terrified that they're going to contract the virus. And now we know that even pets can transfer, they can get it from us. Mm-hmm. Can they transfer it back to us? That's kind of an unknown. But we do know that some of our pets have come down with COVID-19,
right,
and the only way they're probably getting it is from us, because they're staying safe inside with us.
Right. You know what? I'm glad you brought up the cortisol thing, because the other day I put on a pair of pants and I thought, holy God, what in the world has happened? Because I've really been eating fairly well, salads, I'm taking a walk every day, and it dawned on me, it is cortisol. And so One of the things that I know, well, there are two things that I know that, that work real effectively in dealing with cortisol, with an increase in cortisol. Number one, move your body. Number two, get yourself in. See what happens when your cortisol is all messed up. It affects your circadian rhythms. Mm-hmm. And that affects your sleep and that affects your energy level. And so put yourself on a set schedule, move your body. And the other thing that I've been reading recently is that straight protein actually combats the building of cortisol in the body. So when I say straight protein, a protein powder, protein drinks, those kinds of things. So now I think those are actually helpful at this point, as long as you're not drinking a six pack of them as you sit in your home, because they are heavy, heavy calorie. You know, one of the things I'm really curious about is, what do you think is going through the minds of people as they look at all the business on television and a media system that seems to be finding any element of fear that we can possibly find, looking at governmental leaders who, by all practical standards, have kind of gone off the crazy highway in some areas? And you know, I look at it and it almost seems as if we're in the middle of a perfect storm. People are have been and will continue to be locked down in private quarters, maybe with people they don't even necessarily like, which that's a whole nother radio show when we talk about the impact of, on relationships. But I know people are locked down. They're not feeling as well. They're not moving their bodies as well. They might be eating more poorly. They're worrying about their livelihood or, and businesses closing and all that. What do you think is happening when you look at that perfect storm from a psychological standpoint? What's going on in the minds of people?
Well, it's very complex, to say the very least. From a psychological position, they want to be able to trust someone out there with information. And I don't think, unfortunately, because of our political arena at this moment, I think trust is a great big issue, because you have factions to the left and factions to the right. And as a result, everybody that's on the left is saying we can't trust anything coming out of the mouth of those on the right, and vice versa. So we have that going on. I think Dr. Fauci is probably giving reasonably good advice to the best of his ability, but having said that, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but there is a fair amount of information out there on his background. And so, you know, it's like, do we really trust somebody who is going to probably benefit financially from developing a vaccine? And so that's another factor. Another factor that enters into it is looking at the understanding that everybody who is dying in hospitals, if they have a coexisting condition such as COPD, or maybe they are diabetic, or maybe they have cardiovascular disease, they already are compromised. And then they run up against this virus, which further complicates things. And so I have spoken with several people that are in hospital situations, you know, trying to do the best that they can do there. And they're being told to mark the death certificate as COVID-19.
COVID, yeah.
And so COVID-19 may or may not have been the primary reason for their death, and yet that's going to be on the death certificate, which then supports the vaccination industry as the pharmaceutical companies look at developing this vaccine.
Right.
So it's super complicated to look at, you know, the underlying message I think that everyone needs to get is to take responsibility for your health.
For your own health.
Yeah, for your own health. And that means let's get our immune system to peak performance. Let's get inflammation out of the body. Let's start using nutritional products that will make a difference. And you said like protein, but with boomers, just to mention theirs, there's no calories to speak of at all in the boomer protein. And yet it takes inflammation out, it rebuilds cells, and it builds muscles, especially in men. Right. And so, you know, that particular product you could take several times a day without adding a single calorie to speak of to your body, and yet it's doing the job it needs to do. Wow. So we're going to have to, as humans, not look for the magic bullet or the pill, mm-hmm. but we're going to have to say, I need to exercise. I need to take control of my stress. I need to learn about meditation. Mm-hmm. I need to learn how to get into nature and just become one with nature. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that are going to require effort. And so many people don't want to apply any effort. They want that give me the pill mentality.
Right. Right. You know, I just wrote an article for a group a couple of days ago, and I was talking about really how there are two types of people in the world right now. There are people that say, yeah, it's no big deal. We'll get back to normal, which I think is really ludicrous because normal is a figment of our imagination anyway. But right. there's that population. And then there's another population of people who literally realize that every aspect of their life has changed, yet we don't know what to do with it. So in this article, I was talking about really what I think has happened is a psychological blow of epic proportions. Mm. I believe that we have been, because of the nature of the virus, the nature of our political system, the leadership in this country, the economic impact, the familial challenges, when you look at all of that perfect storm, in effect, what's happened is we've been thrown into a constant state of fight or flight. Now, let me add to that, by the nature of how we live in a fast-paced 24-hour news cycle, we are already at a point of agitation most of the time when it comes to fight or flight. People mm-hmm. are living with higher levels of anxiety and agitation effectively. And I think when all of this COVID business unfolded, what effectively happened is that an entire world was thrown into a fight or flight response. Now we know that is purely biological. And mm-hmm. when that occurs, people will do one of three things. They're going to fight, they're going to flee, or they're going to freeze. Mm-hmm. And what I'm noticing now, at least with some of the clients that I'm working with, is, and you'll see it on Facebook, you see it anywhere people have the opportunity to speak. There are people now that are very angry. And one of my concerns is that's a biological response in the fight mm-hmm. or flight mechanism. That anger that we see in these states with people toting AR-57s in front of a subway. I mean, for God's sake, what are we thinking? That is biological. It's not just political. The body is responding. So you look at people, and some people are going to want to fight more, which if I extrapolate that out, that's going to have an impact on relationships and mm-hmm. all sorts of ways. I think that some people are going to freeze. And what's concerning me is in some of the groups that I participate in, mental health issues that people are suffering with now are being compounded. And they're mm-hmm. frozen in their suffering, literally frozen. What do I do to get out of this? Right. And so we know people are fighting, people are freezing, and people are fleeing. But here's the interesting thing about this situation. This is the first time, at least in my lifetime and in your lifetime, where we cannot flee. There is no single place in the world to flee unless you're a multi-gazillionaire. And what that's doing psychologically is compounding our sense of powerlessness. So I think what we're going to watch is a much greater increase in substance use, much higher challenges or much higher numbers in violence and anger, anything related to that. I think we're going to see much higher levels of depression and anxiety. And mm-hmm. ultimately, I believe the thing that is most impactful about the current situation is that people, in order for people to thrive out of trauma, they need an end point. They need a victory. They need to know that the battle has been won. And this is the first time in our experience that there's no victor and there is no end point and there's no way of saying at this specific time, this is going to end. So that's important in my mind, because the longer it stretches out in terms of the from the point of knowledge to the time that we have a resolution, which I think realistically is going to be 2 to 3 years, the longer it stretches out, the more suppressed the immune system is, the more people stay in that fight, flight, or freeze mode, and the ripple effect of that is going to be paramount. What say you in terms of all of that?
Oh, I think you're absolutely correct. Domestic violence is increasing. Even where I live, which is a very nice gated community, we've had police in recently.
Really?
Because people are just cracking. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have any kind of resiliency. And that's a whole nother topic that you and I can talk about down the road.
Right.
But people have never really built a very resilient kind of framework to operate from. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you know, not only do they not have any money in the bank, and of course here in Florida, for those that are outside of the state, I don't think you're probably working with the same conditions as Floridians, but a lot of people that applied for the stimulus check, you know, didn't get it,
right,
for a variety of reasons, which I don't understand. And then, of course, the unemployment checks are still not going out regularly to those Floridians that absolutely needed it.
Right.
And so you've got the stress level of uncertain financial conditions. Mm-hmm. If they can't buy food, if they're having to go to food banks, if now we're being told that the price of everything in the grocery store is going to be going up between 15 and 25%, depending on what it is. And so that compromises the already fragile economic conditions of a lot of homes. Mm-hmm. I think the CBD business is probably going to go quite well.
Yeah.
For those that can actually buy marijuana as a recreational drug, because at least they'll have some way that is tangible that they know to reduce that stress. And of course you can't get that just with hemp oil,
right?
But you can if you're living in Colorado or California or someplace that it's already considered okay to use.
Right.
And I had to laugh because my son is out in Colorado. He said there was a run on all of the, you know, the little shops that carry.
All the weed stores have a line around them.
They wanted to make sure that they didn't run out. So they went to the store as soon as all this started with stay at home and, you know, got their supply. Mm-hmm. Pets, you know, the good news is that most of your like animal shelters are really down on their animals because they're being adopted, because pets do provide that unconditional love and regard.
Mm-hmm.
My fear, naturally, as a pet lover, what will happen after this does become a little more normal and people are going back to work, are they going to forget their pets? You know, that provided all of that love and support.
Right.
And now they'll be coming in the door and, you know, they'll be tired and they won't want to take them for the walk and play with them and things like that. So
right.
I do have some concerns, you know, in that regard.
Right.
But I think that we don't have a new normal. And I don't think we're ever going to have a new normal again. This is a turning point for a lot of young people. My granddaughter didn't get to do her traditional graduation exercises from college.
Mm-hmm.
She was devastated. You know, next year she can walk if she wants to,
right,
with the class of 2021, if, you know, that happens. And, mm-hmm, and that's the thing. We don't know if this virus keeps morphing, which it very well could do. You know, is our new normal going to be always wearing a mask when we go out, always having 6 feet of space,
right,
between us, always, you know, having to go to restaurants and have a lot of space around us there. The mom and pop restaurants, I'm afraid, are not going to make it.
No, I agree.
I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I think the economic impact is so huge that we can't even begin to imagine, because there hasn't been enough time. So here's a question for you. We both agree that there is no such thing as a new normal, which tells me, what do people, or begs the question at least, what is it that people need in order to survive and, more importantly, thrive in this circumstance. So I was on a phone call a couple of days ago with a friend of mine. We've been friends for 20 years. And I said, what's the biggest thing that this has done to you? You know, how's it impacted you the most? And oddly, which I don't think is actually that odd, but she said, it has caused an existential crisis of meteoric proportions. I said, tell me what that means. She said, I have been thinking about everything related to my life, my past, whether or not my life is meaningful, how I'm going to live forward in the future, how I'm going to value relationships, who I'm getting rid of. I think the apple cart has been shaken up so much that people need some tips on how to actually function out of this. Because the bottom line is, I know that we're hanging in suspension right now. Right. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. So I'm wondering, Lucy, when you think about, in all the years you practiced as a therapist and all the years I've practiced as a therapist, ultimately, I believe from a spiritual standpoint, people are being invited to look at their own mortality. We're having to ask that question, what if I die? What if my loved ones die? What's important to me? What means most to me, et cetera? And in your experience, when someone faces that question of mortality, what would you say to them, or how would you encourage them? What support does someone need to come to a point of resolution related to their inevitability around mortality?
Well, as you know, my husband was ill for over 12 years before he died. And you did a wonderful tribute to him at the funeral. So thank you online very much for doing that.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
But we faced that together for the last, I would say, year and a half of his life, mm-hmm. is, you know, what was truly important. And you kind of get rid of everything else. And I think, you know, a commitment to somebody that you truly loved.
Okay.
I think having friends and true friends, not just collections of friends, is really important, because that is the foundation of support, you know, that people need in their lives. I think, again, getting in touch with, you know, we are one with the universe is what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. When we open ourselves up to receiving guidance and to understanding the true nature of who we are as human beings.
Right.
The support is there, but most people don't slow down enough to ever feel it or see it. Mm-hmm. And so getting in touch with that oneness with nature, oneness with the power of the universe, having your, you and I've talked about chakras before, but having your chakras in alignment, and starting from the root through the crown. I'm literally attached, I guess, to the 11th chakra. A lot of people don't know there's 12, but that is what has allowed me to do some pretty amazing things with healing. And it's not me doing it. It's just that I'm in alignment to receive that energy.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of things, learning to control our breathing, learning to control our stress through visualizations. Because if we're looking at the news, and some people were, they were looking at it every hour on the hour to see where we were, that doesn't do anybody any favors.
Oh.
Certainly not if you've got children or pets at home, they feel that immediately. Mm-hmm. And your stress becomes their stress.
Right.
So, you know, being able to go for walks, being able to maybe get in. I've had to chuckle because a lot of people can't get into public pools, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're inflatables. There are none in stock. People are buying all of these small children's pools, and they're making their patio their pool.
Right on.
And of course they can't swim, but they can go sit in the water Yeah. And they can play with their young children in the water, and the pets are jumping in the water, and you just empty it out, it waters the lawn, and you start over the next day. Mm-hmm. So there are things that we can do, cooking together, learning about healthy diets to build your immune system, and what fun to be in the kitchen and focused on family meals that are actually supporting their health, and you're teaching one another stuff.
Right, right. You know, I've been thinking, it's been interesting because I've had a completely odd experience this round because I've been completely alone. Well, I say that. I have a roommate that lives on the other side of the house, but really we intersect maybe once a day. And for the most part, my time has been in my studio writing alone. And what I've been perplexed by is what would we say to people that are in similar situations to combat anxiety, meaninglessness, depression, the ability to sleep anytime you want to? You know, the thing about what concerns me is the people that are completely alone don't have those other social elements in place, i.e. other friends, work, etc. Right. And so in terms of self-management, I agree with you. I think learning how to really, when you know your brain is taking over, your mind is taking over, and you perhaps start ruminating, how to do some thought blocking with that, you know. So one of the things that I've been practicing is anytime my mind wants to go down the crazy highway, I have attempted to become the observer. For instance, if there are lots of thoughts about, oh my God, we're going to die, and this politician just said this, and how bad's it going to be, and, you know, we just get caught in this frenzy of things. One of the things that I do is I will stop myself. I will look at what I am currently focused on. And then instead of judging or assessing or evaluating in some way what I've been thinking about to break that pattern, I have simply started saying, that's interesting. That's a unique perspective. I wouldn't have considered that idea. So the point is, for me, it's been this idea of taking a position of curiosity about the world, curious about people, curious about experiences rather than an evaluative process.
Right.
Because that curiosity allows us to stay present. That's mm-hmm. one thing. The second thing that I've been working on, and I so appreciate what you were talking about related to breathing, I believe that our breath, especially when we are piling on cortisol like it's going out of style, we're becoming lethargic, we're making love to the refrigerator every single day, breathing will oxygenate our bodies and make us feel better. And so one of the techniques I'd love to teach to your group right now, Lucy, is a breathing technique called the 747 technique.
Okay.
And basically what you do is you take a big deep breath in and you hold it for 7 seconds. So let's just do it together and we will demonstrate how it works. So okay. Big deep breath in. And I want you to hold it for 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now exhale it over 4, 3, 2, 1. Inhale. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Exhale. 4, 3, 2, 1. Now we could go on with that, but you know what's interesting? That 7-4-7 breathing technique will oxygenate your body very, very rapidly. It decreases your heart rate. It makes you feel better, and will reduce your blood pressure. Excuse me, in a matter of seconds. That's a simple little technique. So I've been observing as the observer and not evaluating, not judging. I've been breathing using the 7-4-7 technique. I've been employing what's called binaural beats. Are you familiar with binaural beats?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, binaural beats are a type of music that are recorded with modulating tones between the right and the left side. And
I've heard of it.
Yes, they're powerful. What they do is effectively engage the brain waves, and based on the way the recording is done and the megahertz or whatever the frequency at which it's recorded, that will affect your overall brain chemistry. And so I have been experimenting with binaural beats to regain a sense of deep and profound relaxation. And if you're unfamiliar.
Yeah, isn't this a little I have tuning forks.
Very much similar. Yeah, it's very similar.
And I know they're all in different hertz.
Yeah.
You know, like calibrations.
Uh-huh.
And when you strike them and then place them in different parts of the body, it sends a vibrational frequency in there that resolves whatever is going on.
Absolutely. It's very, very similar. In fact, it's the same principle. So, and you know, people can find all sorts of binaural beat recordings on YouTube. In fact, there are even some that are recorded for 10, 12 hours. The other thing that I've been doing is systematic relaxation. And basically what I do is I lie on the bed, from feet to head, clench my muscles systematically, one right after the other, my feet, my calves, my thighs, my butt, my stomach muscles, my chest muscles, my face muscles, and all the while using the 747 technique. And if you clench and release your muscles, clench, release, combined with the breathing, that will create a much calmer state very, very rapidly, okay?
Wow.
And the other thing that I've been playing with is essential oils. Now, you are very familiar with essential oils, so let me just throw it out to you. When you think about oils that you use, what do you use and for what purpose?
Oh, gosh. Well, there's some you can use for clarity.
Right.
You know, like if you're, your mind is sort of muddled and it's going in a million different directions. Lang Lang is really good for clarity. Sage can be good for clarity. Certainly everybody is pretty familiar with lavender,
right?
You know, to use for sleep and just kind of getting into a calmer place. But there's some that are blends, you know, that are good for that as well, just anxiety purposes.
Right.
I think any of your citrus ones, lemon, orange, you know, those again work for alertness.
Right. And clarity of mind.
And clarity of the mind. So I have certain ones that I keep around, some for the holidays, like clove and pine.
Right.
But I don't know. I think I like the blends a lot. There's one that I have that is supposed to be very good for attracting abundance. And, you know, so I guess if you wanted to do like an essential oil list, maybe that would be a good thing, you know, to, I don't know whether you've got a link that we can put out there for something like that, but there are a number of ones, and some people are going to resonate more with certain ones than others.
Right.
You know, some people will smell something and go, "Ooh, I never could do that one." And somebody else might go, "Oh, I love it."
Right. You know, what I'm finding is that the four go-to scents that I'm utilizing most right now are a mint blend for energy, awareness, clarity. I have a citrus blend, and it is for alertness, focus, creativity. I have a lavender blend that is actually a blend of lavender and clove and a couple of sandalwood, a couple of others.
Yeah, sandalwood's nice.
Yeah, and I use that blend for calming. And the fourth one is Lang Lang, like you were talking about.
Lang Lang.
So I think that, you know, as I think about, I know we've been all over the board, but when I think about managing fear, and if we know that we're in the midst of an unending storm, effectively, right? Then in that toolbox, what I've heard us say is essential oils, breathing, visualization, systematic relaxation, building better connections with the people that you love the most. Mm-hmm. We haven't mentioned, but I think it can be really, really valuable, anything creative. You know, when I was in the grief world, we used to say, you must move what's inside to the outside. And so if that was with a painting or a journal or whatever it may be, what other things would you suggest to someone to get out of that fear place? You know, when you're just reeling with
Well, I certainly would encourage, actually, children as well as adolescents, as well as adults, to get into their creative side. So if that means going, you know, once Michael's is reopened or Joanne's or someplace like that, that has arts and crafts, you know, as long as we're going to be doing a lot of staying safe at home type living, then let's get super creative with doing things together, whether it's games, you know, Monopoly is a long game, Clue, you know, something fun, Yahtzee. But also coloring, you know, there's adult coloring books, there's coloring books for kids, you know, I mean, do a coloring night, you know, and hang up your artwork, because not everybody is going to have the ability to maybe get oils or watercolors or things like that. But if you do, you know, then canvases, you know, painting on that, reading together, you could do a story night and everybody could, you know, read excerpts maybe from a favorite book. To increase the fact that we all need, you know, more reading in our lives. We don't do that very much. Creative writing, you know, maybe get a couple of journals. They could do movie night, you know, one night or two nights a week. And then in combination with something like a movie night, you could create your meal as a family.
That's
great. So you've got mealtime as well as, you know, movie night for bonding purposes. Music, my goodness. You know, we, if we have instruments, we could all of a sudden become composers. And if we don't have instruments, then maybe introducing one another. I remember when I was in my senior year in college, I was at a place called the Merrill Palmer Institute in Detroit. And my roommate was going on to, she was a Rhodes Scholar, and so she was going to be going to England right after graduation. But we challenged each other with classical music. You know, could we identify composers by listening to a part of one of their compositions? And we got really good at it by the end of that semester. And so maybe family members of different ages could contribute to the growing knowledge of an older person by introducing them to a younger, you know, musician, whether it's acoustic or, you know, something else.
That's brilliant.
So there's a lot of ways that we can redefine who we are, because one of the things you and I saw when we did that road trip all those 2 years ago now, we were getting ready to leave. On our way, that 6 days that we took going out to Colorado. But one of the things that became really important on that particular trip was saying yes to everything, you know, exposing all of us to different ideas, maybe, you know, different experiences. So how can we do that? And PBS has some really good documentaries on, so you could sit and watch, and then you could talk about what you've just seen. There's a lot of ways that we can redefine who we are.
You know, I want to pick it up with that. When you think about, and you know, I spend a lot of time in the clouds in terms of thinking about more ethereal things and how the world is impacted. But when you really think about a blow like COVID-19 and the perfect storm, I believe what it's done is it's forced us to realize that there's nothing permanent. There's nothing fixed. There's nothing, you know, I think most people live in this false reality that everything is fixed and predictable and expected. And, you
and
know,
nothing is.
And I think that really what it's done is forced us all to realize that we are, I won't say powerless, because we're ultimately being invited to realize how powerful we really are.
Right.
but we're powerless to the external world.
Right. It's got to be internal.
It has to be internal. Right. So as you think about your own spiritual pursuits and defining who you are and make meaning out of your world, how do you keep yourself in a place of creating rather than fixating? Living in the moment rather than in the past or the future.
You know, again, I'm going to go back to 2.5 years ago when my husband Jack died. I think up until then, I was so focused on what I could do to keep him alive mm-hmm. that I was just right there, you know, and I'd been right there for 12 years.
Right.
At the time of his death, I realized that, you know, my life was going to be what I wanted it to be. Uh-huh. But I needed to get rid of a lot of layers because I had walked for many, many years. I won't even tell you how many years, but I had walked helping others and not looking at my needs.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so in the last 2.5 years, I have taken those layers off one by one, and I'm not nearly as protected. I'm much more vulnerable in many, many, many respects. However, it's more real, and I've realized that, you know, you don't have tomorrow necessarily. You don't even have, you know, an hour from now necessarily.
Right. Right.
And so learning to enjoy what you do have is paramount. And so if we focus on that, mm-hmm. I don't even fixate on anything going on. I refuse to listen to the news more than a few, maybe an hour in the mm-hmm. evening from 6 to 7. And part of that is to see what's going on in my area.
Right.
But also I like the national news, you know, at 6:30. But otherwise, I don't listen to things that are stressful.
Uh-huh.
And I try to stay very focused on what makes me happy.
Okay.
You know, whatever that might be. And I certainly do not put around me people that are negative Nellies. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's where you have to become very wise and discerning about what it is that helps you live your best life. Mm-hmm. And if you're, you know, just hanging around people that like to talk about doom and gloom, then maybe you need to cut those ties, you know, because that's not going to benefit you at all.
Right. You know, it's interesting. Let me piggyback on that. This idea of who we're around, what we think about, we bring about, the shared energy, you know, mm-hmm. some people negative, some people positive. When you are in a, you know, physiologically, when we're in an immune suppressed state and an ongoing state of low grade fight or flight mm-hmm. and the potential for things to get worse, what we're doing is making ourselves incredibly vulnerable to the energy of others. And if you have a pile of people in your world that, as I like to say, are swimming in fear, those people that are swimming in fear, and I might sound really bold in saying this, but if you have negative people that are fear-based and you're trying to maintain through all of these rapid changes, those people are like a cancer to your right. health. I want people to literally think about that negativity is as bad for your mind and body as that cigarette that someone just smoked or that Absolutely. McDonald's cheeseburger.
Right.
And I don't think people realize that, you know, maybe now is the time to do a healthy evaluation of, and I think people are naturally doing that. I know for myself, there are a lot of folks that are still in the mix, and there's a handful of folks that they don't get to come back to the party because they swim in sorrow and fear and negativity. And mm-hmm. so I think that's really important. You know, you also said something that kind of struck me, and I'm just going to invite you to do this slightly differently. You're watching the news at 6 to 7, right? 5:36, right. Something like that.
Right.
Here's an interesting thing about when a person is in a low-grade state of fight or flight. The neurochemical processes that are going on, that cascading of chemicals that go in your brain, is that cascading is stimulated by what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. And if you're watching the news at 6 or 7 p.m., you're effectively making your sleep less valuable. So shift. I want to encourage you to shift your news consumption to earlier in the day. And that actually, if you're going to do an hour of news, mm-hmm. that'll actually allow you to sleep better and go into a greater state of relaxation quicker. I also had a thought, Lucy, when you think about, because I'm very aware that you and I both are very fortunate in terms of we have homes and we mm-hmm. have, not a pile of resources for either of us, but we're not going without a meal. And, you know, when you think about folks that are hanging by the thread, just hanging by the skin of their teeth, what would you say are the one or two most important things that people that are really, really struggling, where's the message of hope? What do those people need to hear? What, you know what I mean? Like, how do we support folks that are really far worse off than we? What would we tell them?
Well, it all does begin in the mind. Mm-hmm. Everything, in my estimation, does. And, you know, the book that just got released that I wrote on March 22nd talks about that because, you know, what we think is what our world becomes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all of us have the ability to hopefully think unless we're unconscious.
Right.
And then there's other thoughts that probably take place that are very subconscious thoughts, but we're not aware of them as much. So I would say that regardless of your situation, if you are so focused on the, oh my God, what am I going to do style of thinking, you're going to get more of that, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And if you focus on, if it's to be, it's up to me kind mm-hmm. of thinking, then you will have more resources available to you. I have always believed my entire life since I was a little girl that I was being guided in some way, shape, or form, and that I was not going to be led down any roads or paths that would be harmful to me. Mm-hmm. And that has pretty much been the truth. Yes, there are some negative experiences. Yes, there are some heartaches and heartbreaks. But I think that's how you develop resiliency. Mm-hmm. And we as a nation, as mankind, have lost our way. We've given that power away to others instead of maintaining it within our own control. Right. So when you look at COVID-19 or anything else that might be coming down the road, we have to realize as mankind that we have the power to turn things around. Mm-hmm. We can turn them around with our thoughts, and we can turn them around because we have that ingrained ability to rise above.
Right.
And so I think that's where we have to come from, is we can't look in the mirror and go, who is going to get me out of this mess? It has to be, how am I going to get myself out of this mess?
You know, I'm glad you said that, because I actually, and I hope I don't sound like the most cynical guest you've had on your show, but I feel like, you know, we are in this really interesting time right now where everybody's saying, are we going to get another stimulus check? How are the small businesses going to survive? What's coming as aid from someplace? Mm-hmm. And what I think is dangerous about that equation is that it's not going to be long-term. It's not going to be sustainable for everybody. And if we get to a point where people, you know, 20 to 30% of the population is unemployed, and then on top of that, 90% of the population is fearful. I want to highlight what you said about that concept of it all begins within your own story. Mm-hmm. It begins within your own mind. And as we were talking here, I wrote two words. You can stay in suffering or you can move to gratitude. Now, let me be clear. I'm not one of those, get your gratitude journal, shut the hell up is what I want to say when I hear people doing that a lot of times, because I don't think it fully encapsulates everything. But the point is that we have a choice every single day, and we can wake to sorrow and suffering, or we can wake to peace and gratitude. Mm-hmm. And if you are struggling in some way to find one remnant of something you're grateful for, to focus on those people that you have connections with, to be grateful for the skills.
Well, how about just the ability to read, you know, the ability to see, you know, go outside and look at the beauty that's out there. You know, the ability to relate to somebody. There was a little girl, I have to tell this because we're coming towards the end of the show, but there was a little girl over at Crystal Beach, where you are very familiar with.
Right.
And I was there the other night, and there have been some magical, what I'm going to call spirit orbs, that have been there in my photos lately, and I post them on Facebook. So this young girl, she's in fourth grade, she was there with her mother, and I was showing her mom in the camera, and then she showed her daughter. And I said, do you see that little circle? And so I explained what it was, you know, that it was an orb. And this little girl was so cute, and she looked at me and she said, you are blowing my mind.
That's wonderful.
And so then I pulled up my YouTube video for the book trailer, mm-hmm. and let her watch that. But, you know, we have the ability to continuously learn something new every single day. So if the focus becomes, what new experience am I going to have today? Then it's something to look forward to.
Right.
As opposed to, oh my God, here's another day where I don't have my check, or I'm worried about this, or I'm worried about this, or how am I going to do this? Just change that focus ever so slightly to what miraculous thing will I see or experience today?
I agree with that. And I'll add a piece to that. Mm-hmm. I believe that we're at a pivotal point now where we are being invited to accept responsibility for ourselves 100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, yep. socially. We are the ones that create the reality. So I know we're getting very close to the end here. May I offer one final word of encouragement?
Absolutely.
You know, I feel like, this transcends the psychology, the fight or flight mechanism, the doom and gloom, the social change. It transcends every bit of that. When someone becomes really aware of the fact that we're driving the bus. And what I mean by that is that we are the ones who choose how we want to live, choose how we want to relate, choose how we want to experience this journey. We are not stuck in a fixed story. Mm-hmm. And if you want to step out of the idea that we are in a fixed story, simply start to create moments of beauty layered upon other moments of beauty.
Right.
Don't get bogged down in the things that you cannot control, because ultimately all we can control is what we perceive and how we react to it.
Right.
And
right.
if
the only person we can change is us.
Absolutely. And I believe that we can shift our perception just 3 degrees. And the whole world rapidly changes.
It absolutely does. There's no doubt about that. Trey, tell everybody who's listening how they can get hold of you, and mention a little bit about Upsize Your Soul.
Oh, thank you, Lucy. Yeah. UpsizeYourSoul.com is the website. And I'm rolling out a series of weekly webinars that will take place on Thursday evenings, Eastern Time, 6 to 7:30 p.m. And I have a group of folks gathering with me. We're going to talk about everything from creativity to relationships and sexuality. So upsizeyoursoul.com. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know, Lucy, that I am so grateful for the work you're doing and the mission that you're on. And I hope that if the audience heard nothing today except one thing, that we have the power to create the realities we choose. And my hope is that people will choose to create realities of beauty, peace, joy, and purpose. And that's what I'm all about at Upsize Your Soul. So thanks a lot for hanging out with me today, or letting me hang out with you.
It's a mutual. All right. For people that are listening to today's show, if you know somebody that should have heard the discussion between Trey and I on fear and anxiety in the midst of COVID-19, please send them to synergyconnectionradio.com. All of the shows are archived there. And this will be the top show. I think there's 9 pages of shows at this point.
Wow.
So we've been doing this for quite a long time. Also, if you do go to synergyconnectionradio.com, you'll see that there is a link there to my book, and there's a book trailer, and I would love for you to take a look at it. Again, the story is all about the fact that we create our reality with our thoughts, but it's told in a way that children can relate to. It's a great family read, a great discussion point at this particular time. So thank you for being part of the Synergy Connection Radio Show. Thanks, Trey.
You bet.
And it was super fun, and we'll see you back here in a couple months.
All right. Be well, my friend. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.